Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, today, wherever you are, if it's sort of gray like it's here in the Pacific Northwest, pretend you are in Hawaii. Blue skies, tropical breezes blowing. And we are going to be talking about a culture that is absolutely awesome in my mind. And that is the culture of the Hawaiians and the kahunas. And today we have a guest, Garnett Arledge, and she has been a participant in putting together a wonderful book called The Wise Secrets of Aloha. You can learn and live the sacred art of Lomi Lomi. And Garnett, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you. Aloha Nui Nui.
Aloha. Oh, it's just, that's a for a hello, a goodbye. It's just wonderful. It's just absolutely great to be able to talk with you today. As I said before we went on air, there is a very special spot in my heart for the Hawaiians. I've just had some wonderful experiences there. Now, you've been a writer for a number of years, but also you went through a time in your life where you were seeking, and you really didn't know which direction you were going to follow. And I know so many people listening to the show today can relate to that. Now, you met Kahuna Harry.
Yes.
And you had an intuitive flash that you were going to be able to work with him, and you had to ask three times before the Halau guardians said that the time was right and that Kahuna Harry should reveal the secret teachings because the world is in such a blooming mess. And Kahuna Harry Uhane Jim was born in Kauai, and there's an interesting history with that, and I'll let you talk about that. And he was trained in surfing, kayaking, and skin diving as spiritual, emotional, and physical routes to the pa'a, or the transcendent, and now he teaches. And, you know, when I first picked up this book, I have to tell you, Garnett, Max Freedom Long is a person that I have a great deal of regard for.
Yeah.
And his mentor, Dr. Brigham, had been made a kahuna. And he said there was a law that was at work with the kahunas. And when he passed away, he hadn't discovered what it was, but he said it's as real as breathing.
Uh-huh.
And Max put on the mantle that was passed to him and did a lot of research himself. You must tell us a little bit about your journey. Meeting Harry Uhane Jim.
I'd be happy to, but let's talk about Max Freedom Long first.
Sure.
Since you just mentioned his name, he certainly, I remember reading his book, in the 80s.
The Secret Science Behind Miracles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the first things I asked Harry before I even realized that he was going to consent to do a book. About Max's work, and he said, you know, he was a very dedicated spiritual man, but he never, ever actually got to the Hawaiians. What he got was from his intuition and from the other side. Because the Hawaiians, the real Hawaiians, the kahunas, were under pain of imprisonment if they shared their secrets or their teachings.
Right, and he mentions that in one of his books, that Dr. Brigham said that he had had, fortunately, their last contact with the kahunas of old.
Mm-hmm.
And Max, he said they were gone by the time he came around. And again, it went underground.
I like the phrase, which just came to me, I think, from the halau, they went behind the orchid curtain.
Oh, I like that one even better.
They went behind the orchid curtain, and you know how beautiful the orchids are in Hawaii.
Mm.
And they
yes.
slipped back into the jungle, had a very, very low profile. And,
mm-hmm.
and at some point when Harry was very young, he was taken to an initiation and made an oath. He was asked to say an oath that he wouldn't share the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he, being a modern man and looking at the conditions of the world, and at the state of the Hawaiian lineage, which is so much smaller now than before the missionaries came, he realized that these very powerful, important secrets would be lost as the older generation dies off, and
mm-hmm.
that he really had an obligation to the planet to share these secrets.
Well, and don't you think, too, we are in a time frame where there is like a tremendous speed, and if there's a sense of urgency about we've got to stop the madness before it gets out of control.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Harry felt, I think, is what many wise ones throughout the millenniums have felt. Because when knowledge is not passed along, and they have to be very selective about who they choose,
yeah.
but when they do pass it along, there sometimes is a dilution and a confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes a very, very skilled person to be able to know who they should pass this to
mm-hmm.
so that the real essence of it is going to last.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And we were so conscious of just what you said, Donna. I was very conscious in writing the book, very, very careful with the words and the language and how we said it, and to make our meaning as crystal clear as we could, but in also so that people could read between the lines and get the vibrations of the message as well as the language.
Now, you yourself went through some particular training, and when you made the commitment to do this book, The Wise Secrets of Aloha,
mm-hmm.
you did have to be very thoughtful about the words that you used, didn't you?
Absolutely. They were very carefully chosen. And my background as a journalist and an author, and believe it or not, as a hospice chaplain, helped me with the kind of sensitivity that I wanted to give to the book and give to this beautiful teaching. And you asked me earlier about my path. I was just a regular frivolous person until in my 20s my parents died one after the other of cancer. And that was a long time ago, before Kubler-Ross. And I was really alone with my emotions and very little spiritual support. And that, like for so many people, death and dying can be a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either rise to the challenge and move deeply into spirituality, or you can go away and get mad and depressed and nurse your grudges, you know. So I was very fortunate that I had an amazing spiritual awakening. Actually, it was at a lecture by Joseph Campbell, whom so many people know. His breakthrough work, and he was giving a lecture on the chakras and the kundalini.
Ah.
And I didn't know. I was just a normal Princeton, New Jersey housewife. I had no idea what the chakras were, but I just closed my eyes, and as he took us to each chakra, I just went along with it, and I had a very powerful enlightenment experience in the seventh chakra, and I came out of, I was at church on the Princeton campus, a totally different person. And I understand what it means when it says you'll have new eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, I saw everything so differently. And that began a 30-year journey from place to place and teacher until I found a teacher that satisfied me, that could take me all the way home. And I met her at the Cathedral of St. John and Divine in New York City, and she just introduced us to the great saints in all religions, and her name is Hilda Charlton. And she has some amazing books, and she put me on the path of writing books about great souls. And my first one was a book about her. It's called Blessings, Hilda. So that started me on the journey and has kept me there all the time.
Now, how did you meet Harry?
I had a invitation to cook at a retreat center. And it came just shortly after my husband was killed on the New York Thruway. And even though I'd been a hospice chaplain and I had been a meditator and a student of esoteric literature for a long time, it really devastated me. And I thought, well, I can cook. I can still cook, right? Maybe I can't write, but I can still cook. And I didn't feel that I should be giving people treatments unless I was in a state of wholeness. So I welcomed this opportunity to cook, and Harry and his wife, Sila, came into the kitchen and just plunged right in, helping me prepare the food, and it was a lot of food for a lot of people. And Hawaiians are big eaters. And they know their belief system is that the more weight you carry, the more mana you're carrying, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they really threw themselves in, helped me cook, and Harry said, come to the workshop. And it was a wonderful opportunity because he gave me some powerful treatments, some powerful Lomi Lomi treatments. And I thought I had been doing pretty well with Christopher's popping over to the other side, but Harry found this, I can only describe it as like a sack of grief in my solar plexus, in my abdomen, that I didn't even know was there. I thought I had done so much grief work. But he just put his hands on a special spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was holding this emotional wound, and it released, and as it released, it uncovered a powerful radiating force of gratitude. And in that gratitude, I felt like I saw Archangel Gabriel. And I felt like I was being told to offer to Harry that I would write his book. And when I opened my eyes, Harry said, what was your experience? And I said, Harry, you need a book.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, I know. I've been trying to write one for 10 years. And I said, well, Harry, I'm the one to do it. And he said, well, let me think about it. Think about it. Kind of manana, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I knew the spiritual teaching that you had. I learned it from Hilda, that you have to ask three times for something that you really want to do and that you really know should be done, that a teacher doesn't consent unless the person asking can show perseverance and sincerity and a real desire to do what they're asking to be done. So I asked them three times over a period of time, maybe 6 months, and he finally agreed. And we made a negotiation, so it would be fair to both of us. Because he was in Buffalo and I was in Woodstock, which is about 5 hours away from each other. And we worked out a good deal. And then an eagle flew over the balcony where we were standing. And I said, oh, that's a great sign. He said, yeah, that's a good sign. But there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm in it.
Mm-hmm.
But later, we were driving to meet friends at a restaurant, and I, when I see a turtle about the size of a turkey platter,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? One of those great big, almost like a terrapin, was crawling across the road, this back country road, and we stopped and watched it go across, and Harry turned to me and said, and that's a better sign. Because to Harry, the turtle is the symbol of the higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And the Hawaiians have a very strong bond with nature. There are experiences I had when I was there, people sharing their stories with me that I just felt so privileged even here. Because typically they wouldn't talk to most people, but they were just right there with me whenever I went someplace and just... Mm-hmm. talked with them, and it was great.
They could recognize you.
I guess they did.
They recognized you. They know who.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, even now when I'm talking about it, there's just this deep emotion with them.
Mm-hmm.
A kahuna, and I'm quoting directly from your book, is only someone who has by lineage of blood, birth, and initiation become so deeply interwoven with the teachings that there's no difference between the teaching and the teacher. And the wisdom is fully integrated in the exemplary life and body of the kahuna.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the calm, high servant of those who might be seeking higher emotional evolution. And a kahuna is dedicated towards serving the community.
Mm-hmm.
And very important, whenever anyone is interested in learning the kahuna teachings, and I can say this with utmost sincerity, you must have respect, you don't make judgments about them, and you listen. Because there is a transfer that's made that is, you cannot in any way, shape, or form put words to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens with any good teacher, with any student. You can talk till the cows come home, but if the essence isn't transmitted, if it isn't felt by that other person, they're not touched. They'll walk away feeling empty. It just doesn't happen. So... let's go in to a little bit of this book, and you talk about vertical time. That's right at the very beginning when you are going to talk about the processes of the wisdom of the kahunas. Vertical time, you slip from one dimension to another, and that is so, it's hard to believe, but it's something when you do it, sometimes you catch yourself and you wonder, how did I do that?
Right.
I mean, you just don't know. And I really I like your description in the book, and I found it's compatible, many of the things that you share, with many different cultures throughout the world. There are different images, but there is a compatibility, because truth is truth. Wisdom is wisdom, and it flows like a river. And it will go into whatever tributary is going to be open to it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
I really like the way that you bring this together. And the fact you have something here, be comfortable, adjust, and trust yourself. Fill yourself with gratitude and bliss. This is an opportunity to emotionally invest in your higher self. When you breathe three full relaxing breaths, inhaling gratitude, you will exhale bliss. Aloha.
Aloha.
And you have so much good information in here. Now, Harry had an experience with vertical time. And again, for those of you listening, these are the wise secrets of Aloha. And Garnett has put together this information in such a way that you can read it, and then you go back and you reread it again. It's like you're mentally going to chew your cud over this periodically, because there are so many subtleties in it. Tell us about Harry's vertical time experience.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having the wisdom and recognizing that this is a layered book, and that it is important to keep rereading it and letting the Hawaiian masters unfold the meaning for you.
Mm-hmm.
So vertical time, it's so interesting. You know, when you're meditating and you close your eyes, and then when the energy is like complete, you open it and you're so amazed that an hour and a half, or 15 minutes, whatever, has gone by. And you weren't at all aware of it. You were out of time. That's vertical time.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're free of a clock. You're free of Chronos. And you have stepped into what we would say in Christianity is God's time. You've stepped right into, and in the Hawaiians would say it, you've returned to paradise. You've returned to that time of beauty and trust and no cares, where you just absolutely know that you're wrapped in the arms of the divine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you're dancing with joy. And when you have any of those feelings into vertical time.
The kahunas, and again I'm quoting from your book, don't tell how to shift the belief system into deep understanding, but instead do lomi lomi. This is because kahunas don't want to hold you back from embracing all of vertical time. When you find it yourself, you'll own it.
Yes.
Don't tell, show, don't say, do. If the kahunas fail, they divert you from your own discovery and your own ability to swim deep along with spirit. That is one of the most difficult understandings and or lesson to be able to share with anyone. And I know myself, I didn't want to listen to it. I really didn't when I was in my 20s. And the fact is that you must experience things. A teacher can impart knowledge, but they can't be it for you. You have to discover it through your own essence. And that is why it's so important. You have a good teacher, they never tell you there's one way of doing it. They will give you the guidance, but they want you to experience it for yourself. And that's the way Harry is.
And that's one way people can decide if they can trust someone who claims to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seen as capable of healing yourself, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Or is somebody going to do it
mm-hmm.
to you? And beware if someone's going to do it for you.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
I mean, this is something that is a do-it-yourself job. And it makes me sad many times when people think they can take a pill, add water, mix, swallow it, they got it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Because we all have our own individual experience. Now, you also bring up the word aloha.
And
here, and it's mentioned, of course, that's a very significant part of the Hawaiian language. Hello,
mm-hmm.
goodbye. But you broke it down with the letters A-L-O-H-A.
Yes.
And A represents ala, which is watchful alertness, and that's consciousness of all-seeing awareness, omniscience. L is lokahi, it's working with unity. O is O-I-A-I-O. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but that's truthful honesty and authenticity. And ha-a-ha-a is humility. And ahonui, or ahohonui, I think it should be. Ahonui.
Ahonui,
am I correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
ahonui.
That's patient perseverance. I haven't practiced much Hawaiian. So you have to
bear about on the same level with
you have to bear with my
Hawaiian
mouth stumbling here.
But aloha. Mm-hmm. Aloha. You know, we love to think it's hello and goodbye, which it is. But it's so much more. It's so much more. And when it's really love between two people, and it's God's love. It's the high self love, the higher power love. It's the great cosmic love. And when you say aloha with your heart, why say it any other way, but with aloha, then you're sharing the blessings of life with the other person. And what's the greatest blessing of life? It's the root of all life. It's the breath.
Mm-hmm.
So the secret meaning of aloha is to, when you say it, you are contributing to raising the vibration between the two people. By breathing together. So breathing and breathing God's creator's air together. Which is why when the missionaries and the merchants first came to Hawaii in their New England wool suits and their long underwear and their shirts up to their necks and their ties, the Hawaiians didn't trust them. Because a Hawaiian thinks that you need to bare your chest so the other person can see how you're breathing. And if you can see that it's a good, steady, honest breath and that the chest is moving in and out, and then you can trust that person. But if you hide your chest, then they can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have, shall we say, the aloha spirit. They don't have the breath of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Who would ever think that that's why the Hawaiian dancers were coming out to the airplane with leis singing aloha. They were welcoming the travelers and the tourists and trying to raise their vibration high enough so that they could really get Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could come into this paradise on earth as it was.
Well, this book has so much wonderful information about the kahunas, and Harry's wisdom is permeating the book, and I know we're almost out of time here. There's information about the four declarations. There are all kinds of instructions. There are healing stories in this book that are just beautiful to read.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of love. There is a lot of insightful wisdom here. And I know Harry went through a very difficult time where he had to retreat because he couldn't teach anymore for a while and had to say, you know, I've given it to you students, you have to pass it along. And that is something I think, you know, when a teacher knows it's time for them to be about something else and they mm-hmm. release those that they have taught, that's a very good thing to do.
And all these challenges, you know, that I've had, that Harry had, we really look at them as initiation into higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
Or in what's higher, what's lower, into greater levels, greater capacity to love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so the emotional wounds that Lomi Lomi addresses, they crystallize. The Hawaiians know that they crystallize in the body the same way debris can clog up a field in agriculture. And those channels have to be cleared, those meridians have to be cleared of these emotional wounds. And that's something that Harry can do, and he's training people now all over the world to do it. Since they've read the book and know the benefits. And these testimonials, I had no idea when I emailed several names Harry had given me, and as they started to pour in, I was just in tears at the healings. They were so beautiful. And
the wise,
people had their lives mm-hmm. back.
Yes, they did.
They did.
The Wise Secrets of Aloha, we are out of time. Garnett, The Wise Secrets of Aloha, Learn and Live the Sacred Art of Lomi Lomi. And if Hawaii calls to you, If you are seeking, if you're exploring, you're wanting to find something that can touch your heart and your spirit, I think that this is a book that you might want to get so that you can read it and then go back and reread it. It is not for speed reading, per se. You might want to read through it quickly, and then when you have time, when you have a moment or two, just go back and absorb it, because there is so much here. And believe me, it's real. Garnett Arledge is my guest. Garnett, quickly, we have just a few seconds here. What is your website?
It's www.garnettarledge.com.
That's GARNETTEARLEDGE.
And the best way to find Harry is just to Google Harry Jim.
Just Google Harry Jim. All right, we've got it. Garnett, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Your book is loaded with so much good information. There's no way we could cover it in the time we had, but I appreciate your being with me today on the show.
What an excellent and wonderful interview. It's so a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you, Garnett. And aloha, and give my regards to Harry Uhane Jim, the kahuna.
Yes.
It's continuing the wonderful work. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Don't you go anywhere. I've got good things to share with you today. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open if you'd like to give me a buzz. Here are a couple of telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted that you've joined our audience, and just know what I'm going to be doing is giving you free insights on the air. I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, and again, all I need is your first name or your initial, then let me do my stuff, and after that, you can ask me a question about anyone or anything that you like. So 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. You know, when I was talking with Garnett, I really was sincere about saying how much the people of Hawaii have meant to me. There were years there where I was doing broadcasts over in Hawaii, and I had so many special experiences when I was there. Typically between the broadcasting and seeing clients, I was very, very busy. So I didn't have much of an opportunity to go play, if you will. And, of course, all of us, whenever we think of Hawaii, it's the Garden of Eden, where you can go play and nobody cares what you look like as far as the figure goes, and everybody's in the water and it's just laid back and just absolutely wonderful. But I found that I had the good fortune to experience conversation with Hawaiians, and it was just so surprising to me, the stories that people told me. And I'll share one of them with you. And again, they have a tremendous bond with nature, and families will have their animal totems, not unlike the Native Americans on the mainland and in different parts of the world. So this one young lady came to talk with me, and she was really concerned because, being Hawaiian, she had been given certain cultural understandings, and then she had been educated in Western philosophy and this, that, and the other. And she said, I want to share something with you that happened to me. She said, my family, being Hawaiian, they have as their animal totem, and that's the word I'll use, the lizard, the gecko. And geckos, they're all over in Hawaii. They're wonderful little lizards, and you never mind them being around where you are because they take care of the mosquitoes and all kinds of bugs that are there. But they are fast-moving little critters. And she said she had been told that whenever she needed help, whenever she needed assurance, a gecko would always show up wherever she was. Well, she was in New York City, and New York doesn't have geckos. And she was going through a very, very difficult time. And she's in this itsy-bitsy, tiny cubicle of an apartment. And she was just so despondent. She was missing home. She was missing the islands. And she felt so alone. And then there up on her wall was a gecko. And she said, I looked at that and I thought, I'm out of my mind. There are no geckos in New York City. I'm hallucinating. And she went up closer, and of course the little lizard moves very quickly. But it was a gecko. And she said then and there, the darkness that she felt inside of herself just lifted, because it was as if someone was giving her a message with that gecko. Now, there's some of you may be listening to this, and you're going to say, oh, that's utterly ridiculous. But how many of you, if you see something in nature, it speaks to you? And when it speaks to you, it can be a tree, it can be a flower, it can be a flying creature, it can be a dragonfly. I've got a friend that lives in Beverly Hills, and her totem is a dragonfly. She said whenever she sees a dragonfly, she knows that that means good things for her. All of us have some kind of a belief system that empowers us. And with this young lady, it was her culture. She also knew when she saw the gecko, she wasn't going to be staying in New York City. She was going to be going home. And as she sat and was relating this story to me, she said, Donna, do you think I'm crazy? I said, absolutely not. You have to honor your culture. And something that I have found in working with people through the many years that I've been a counselor and working with so many different cultures, often what we are able intuitively to communicate through and with is what our environment of comfort might be. If someone is of a Christian background, that will be the influence. There will be symbologies dependent on what aspect of that will be. If you're Buddhist, there are particular symbols that will be of importance to you. If you're Native American, it'll be that. If you are East Indian, depending on what your cultural patterning is, there will be those influences. And they are there because within your psyche, within your cultural consciousness, that symbolism has meaning for you. And that is why whenever I'm around different people of different cultures, I have a great deal of respect and appreciation when they share their experiences with me, because their symbols mean something to them. It might not mean anything particularly to you or to your experience, but if you listen, you can learn. And that is so important in my mind's view. When we are willing to learn and understand, as I mentioned in the first half hour, wisdom doesn't know gender, it doesn't know race, creed, doesn't know color. It just is. And when we get to that point of understanding it, we'll look for that wisdom. We'll look for those riches of understanding wherever we are. And what that does, that enables you to develop a level of communication with people that you may not otherwise have. When you take an attitude of, oh, what that person is thinking is stupid, or if you say their symbolism is just that of a savage, they're primitive, they don't know what they're talking about, you're blocking yourself off often from the understanding of another person's thought patterning. And it is so amazing to me how often people will do this. And I don't care whether you're interacting with somebody on the street, a homeless person, or the king or the president of a country. It doesn't make any difference. Everything and anything in between. We all have languages within ourselves that we must learn to work with and interpret. I call it the language of the mind. But there's the language of the spirit, there is the language of the soul, there is the language of the body. There are various aspects of languages. Maybe a better word to use would be the dialects of the language itself. It makes a difference. And what we need to remember is that when we can honor and respect other people and be willing to listen, they often will share with us insights that we would never, ever have been open and responsive to before. I always tell people, be willing to be skeptical, be willing to analyze, be willing to question. That is healthy. That is good. But also be willing to learn. You never, ever know it all. Ever. And so much of my life has been dedicated to the study of mind, I find that there is so very, very much I don't know. And that's what I love about the works. That's what I love about being involved as a teacher, as a radio talk show personality, interacting with people from across the board. All of the different perceptions. It doesn't make them good. It doesn't make them bad. It just enables us to get views of what is possible for us to see through someone else's eyes. And that is significant. We don't have to buy the whole picture. But even if there is a part of that picture we understand, it can be transforming. And it's amazing. So to the people of Hawaii, I just have such an appreciation for you and for your culture. And one day I hope to make it back to the islands again. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers. You can call in 2-877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. So those two lines are open. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about tea. It's one of my favorite beverages ever, cold or hot. I've always enjoyed it. And Teresa Cheung is going to be my guest. She's in England. We are going to be talking with her. Her expertise is in tea, and there's a lot of history with tea, and there is a wonderful, wonderful batch of information regarding preparation and different fragrances and flavors and cultural traditions. And we've got a lot of good things we're going to be sharing tomorrow. Next week, I want you to know that Dr. Petty on Memorial Day is going to be my guest. Yes, we're going to be live on Memorial Day. And we're going to be talking about healing and purpose. And there's going to be so much good information. He always has so much good stuff to share. And by the way, if you really want updated information on health and wellness, be sure and go to his site, Dr. Richard Petty. And there's a blog, and you can link from his website, Richard G. Petty. You can link from his website right into that blog, and he is on that all the time. He is listed as number 30 or 32 in the world on the Internet for updated medical information. This man is trained in so many different modalities. It's wonderful, and he is really good at what he does. So do check that out. Monday he's going to be on the air with me live. Now, Medicine Dance. We are going to be talking with Marcia Scarborough. We're going to be going into something about Native American culture. So that's going to be on Tuesday. 16 myths of the diabetic diet. There are so many people today that are experiencing diabetes more than ever before. We're going to find out next week about the myths about the diabetic diet. We'll get past that. And then the six-figure speaker, Kathleen Fillmore. If ever you have wanted to be successful as a speaker, this lady knows her stuff. And then cut cords of attachment, Rose Trace. She is a great gal. If you feel like something's causing you to hang on to what you don't want, she's going to show you how you can cut that away. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Hey, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Otherwise, I'll be sharing some other good stuff with you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Do you have trouble sleeping? I can remember times when I would just get so frustrated because I felt like I'd go to sleep and I would wake up and I was just as tired as when I went to sleep. Well, here are some strategies. If you are like so many of us, we are just so busy mentally, we just don't know how to turn it off. Well, here are some tips and some suggestions. You probably heard about this. You know, it's like waking up at the same time every day. And give yourself an hour before you go to bed to wind down. Yeah, right. How many times, if you've got kids and you're a married wife or a husband and you're chatting with them, and if you're like one couple I know, the husband works late and the wife only has like about an hour and a half, so she's staying up later, she's got to get up at 5, he gets up at 8. You know, it's just one of these wild and wacky worlds that we live in. We're not like the farmers of old, that when the sun went down, the candles came on, and nobody could do too much of anything. So you really had to do your work during the daylight hours, and night was for sleeping, and that's what people did then. Well, with the modern world today, we've got lights on at all times. We are on our computers. We work various hours. We have lifestyles that are totally unlike years ago. I'm grateful for them. I wouldn't want to go back to what they had then at that time. However, many times we ignore ourselves. And, you know, women particularly are really bad at this. But I know some guys that are bad at this, too. So you want to remember that if you don't get enough rest, and that means really getting good rest, where you are refreshed when you wake up, then you're not going to be able to be at peak performance. I mean, talk to athletes. They'll tell you that really quickly. They have to eat well. They have to get their rest. If they don't get their rest, they're not going to function well. So we need to remember this. And you know what? If you have a snoring partner, if you have someone that just, you cannot, maybe if your dog snores, you can't sleep. Put the dog in another room, or, you know, make arrangements where you have a place where you can sleep. If your partner snores so loudly, you can't use earplugs, that doesn't work, whatever. Just may mean you have to be in another room because of their snoring. Now, you know what? When you go to bed, you need to be able to turn off the brain, because often our brains are just going 10,000 miles an hour. We need to be able to shift into that modality that allows us to go into sleep readily and easily. And a good way to do that is with some good music and maybe some sounds. You know, they call them white sounds, like the sounds of the ocean or whatever is really, really great for you. If you've got kids, put them on a routine. Put them to bed at a certain time so you have some time to relax. Also, what they have found is when people, before in the evening, if they have their carbohydrates in the evening, then it makes them sleepier. And they've done a lot of research on that. And they say you need your carbohydrates, but if you have a little bit before you go to bed, the old adage of milk and a cookie, it works. It just does something. It enables the body chemistry to work so it goes into that mode of relaxation. And what it is, it's the tryptophan in milk, And the little bit of carbs, I mean, you don't sit there with a whole bag of cookies, of course. You sit and just have one, and it doesn't have to be a gigantic glass of milk. It can be small. But you really need to be aware of taking care of yourself and almost making it like a routine that becomes a ritual to a degree, and it allows you to relax. Some people like to read a little bit, but turn off the television, turn off the loud noises, get away from the computer, and you probably are going to be able to rest very well. Also, one of the things that they find is that exercise, when people exercise, it really helps the body to be able to use what it needs in the way of not only calories, but it creates a form of ability for the body to relax so that when it's time to go to bed, you go to bed. You need to have a cocoon of quiet. And for those of you that are working the night shift, that can really be a bear. I never did well on the night shift. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and they said, nope, I couldn't do the night shift. My wife could, and it's just great. And I said, boy, we're just the opposite. My husband is a night person. I am an early morning person, and it's just the way people are. It has something to do with the body clocks. So it's something we have to work with. And if you can, if you are a person that is more of a night person, and I think this can pertain to just about anybody, it's good if you are closer to your job where you don't have long commute times. If you have long commute times, that is really going to affect you. And two-thirds of shift workers report driving drowsy after a shift. So be thoughtful. If you have that patterning, you want to make sure that if it's not safe for you to drive, then you take public transportation. And, you know, there's a lot of people that will say, oh, well, if you're on a night shift, you can't sleep during the day, then take something for it. Well, your body may need to go through an adjustment. I know people that I knew that worked up on the slopes in Alaska, they often would have a big adjustment because they had 14 to 16-hour work days. And they would be up there, and they had to go through a big adjustment every time they were working up there, and they'd get into that routine. And then when they would leave the North Slope and they would go back, let's say, to Anchorage or wherever home was, then they get into a different shift. And it takes about 3 days to go through the adjustment physiologically. So they started sleeping in a regular pattern. And, you know, just be aware that you have to take care of your body. And sleep is so important. I often wonder at these people that will say, oh, I can get by on 4 hours sleep. That's an amazing thing to me. Because I know most people that do that, it catches up with them after a while, and it catches up big time so that they'll almost crash and sleep like for 24 hours or more. So take care of yourself. Be aware that how you treat yourself, understand your own body, work with what works for you, and if you find that you get really drowsy or sleepy, and maybe in the afternoon, which is not abnormal, believe it or not, for a lot of people, try to get up, move, do a little bit of exercise, walk around the block, get the body moving, and I think you're going to find you're going to feel a lot better and you're going to sleep better. It really does make a difference. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about tea bliss. Teresa Cheung is going to be my guest, and we've got so much wonderful stuff to share with you right here, same time, same place, on bbsradio.com. The Donna Sebo Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are the one that is going to be able to choose your bliss, whatever it may be. And if you're seeking, don't ever give up, because you will find, one way or another, there is going to be that place, that space, that special person that will touch your heart, your mind, and your spirit in a way that will let you know you've come home and you're ready to grow some more. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.